consent agendas, the warrants, the minutes from August 2017 meeting, and also the financial reports from that meeting. Are there any questions on that or concerns that you haven't already talked about with Jared? Okay.
Or Carrie.
Or, yeah,
Carrie.
Or Carrie.
I move we pass them as they've been presented to us.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
Yes, if you'll turn to the board bulletin, I have several names to present to the board. Andrea Irwin, Bookcliff Elementary 3-hour special ed aide. Felicia Nielsen, Cottonwood Elementary 5.9-hour special ed aide. Yolanda James, Emory High School EdNet facilitator. And Belinda Peacock, Emory High EdNet facilitator. I would say on those facilitator positions that in the past, USU Eastern has paid for those services. They no longer do that.
Oh, really?
So we are replacing those. Also, I would point out that the last two names on that list I need to discuss with you in closed session.
Okay.
So I would present those names as read with my recommendation.
Okay. So do you want to do the motion now or after?
Motion now on the four.
Okay.
First four.
Yeah. All right. Okay, motion is in order.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We have, we are all ready to the principal's report.
Oh, wow.
You're just moving right along. Yeah.
I told you you'd have like 45 minutes.
Sadly, I won't be taking that much time. Okay, well, we welcome you here to Castle Dell Elementary and appreciate you being here. Thank you for the opportunity to let you know what is going on in our school. The September meeting, we're still getting into a lot of stuff, so. We have a wonderful faculty and staff here at Castle Dell Elementary. We were sad to lose Mr. Prettyman to Canyon View this year. He was loved by students and parents and faculty alike, but we know he'll do a great job, an amazing job at the middle school. That also necessitated bringing in some new teachers. So we have two new teachers this year at our school, Jamie Anderson, who's teaching our second, fifth grade class this year, and we're thrilled to have that class split. It was a good thing for those children. And we also have Angie Barton, who's not a new teacher to the district, but she's new to us. We're sharing her with Cottonwood Elementary, and she is our afternoon kindergarten aide. Hopefully you noticed our nice new spruced up walls as you were entering. It was one of our projects this summer. We think it gives us a nice crisp look, so we're excited about that. Also, as you may have seen as you walked past the office, and if you didn't, look it on your way out, our theme for this year is Reaching for the Stars. And each of those letters stands for something that we're going to be focusing on this year. So success, trust, achievement, respect, and service. And so those are what we're reaching for this year. To help us with that focus, we're continuing to have our students focus on being bucket fillers like we did last year. And so if we're doing good things, they get to bring a warm fuzzy to fill our bucket. And when we fill a bucket, we get to have a whole school activity. So they're excited about that. And we're also having, continue to have our positive office referrals. We like to let the kids know that the principal's office and the office are happy places to be too sometimes. So we've had several of those over the last couple of weeks, and they're excited to come up and get them. And I'm excited to read about their academic and social and behavioral achievements. So I get to read what the teacher has written about them, and then I get to add something on, and then we send those home to the parents in the mail, because it's always nice to get something happy from the school. So they're always excited to ask their parents if they've gotten the mail when they know they've got one coming in. So yeah, it's kind of fun. And because we're reaching for the stars this year, when they get one of those, get a star bracelet that they get to choose for this year as well. To help us teach our students positive academic and behavioral skills, we're using a program called Marvin and Jesse Learn About Life. And Marvin and Jesse are two new students here at Castle Dell Elementary. And every month, we'll do a skit that introduces a new skill conflict resolution, respect, being self-confident, being just doing all sorts of things that will help them to be good at life and in school. Our first skit was last week, and Marvin was played very kindly by Wayne Roberts. Since we have no men on our faculty this year, he has kindly consented to be Marvin, and I have been convinced by my faculty to be Jesse, who are the two characters, and then the other characters are played by our faculty. Our students seem to enjoy watching us act, so hopefully. Our next skit will be next Monday, and we're going to focus on peacemaking resolving conflict in peaceful ways for the month of September. So we're excited about that, and we'll see how excited the kids are after this year. So that's been kind of fun. Our teachers are continuing to use our iPad and our Chromebook labs. They are getting more skilled all the time. They use them for whole class things. They also use them a lot in centers and take six or seven at a time and use that for that. We're grateful to be able to have the ability to have that technology to help our students and help our teachers in their teaching and learning. We're also looking forward to learning how to use School City, which is the new district data warehouse program for us. And we think it'll be really powerful in helping us to see where our students are strong, where they're weak, and how we can help them in reteaching, in reinforcing, and in extending their skills. So we're excited to learn a little bit more about that. We're also thrilled with the professional learning communities that the district has put into place, and are so excited to have the opportunity to meet not only as faculty but as grade levels, and focusing on the skills and the standards that our students need to know. I think it's a powerful thing for teachers to be able to visit with each other, and where a lot of us are singletons in our schools, it's a powerful thing to be able to have time to meet during the school hours and discuss those things which are necessary across the district and in our schools, and to build on those. So we're thrilled with that opportunity, and know that it can be a really powerful tool for our teachers and students, not only in our school but district wide. So I can't wait to see how it goes and how far we can grow from that. One of the things that we're adding this year, our librarian Elaine Lake is going to do some maker spaces in our library activities. And maker spaces provide hands-on creative ways for students to design and experiment and build and invent using science and engineering and math and all sorts of stuff as they tinker and try to build and invent things. So she's really excited to get those things into place, and I'm excited to see that happen. And that kind of, we feel like it really dovetails really well with the robotics club, which we are again excited to be hosting this year. The interest has grown from last year. It was pretty good for its first year. But it's grown enough that they've added several more people to help, which I think Amanda Fratz is probably thrilled with, because it has expanded. I think it exceeded even what they thought it would be last year. So there are some other people involved, and they're going to have three separate levels of students this year: kindergarten first, and then second, third, and then a fourth through sixth band, and the fifth and sixth grade in that band will be the ones that will be going to the competitions. So they have Crystal Lee, another one of our teachers, will be helping. And then Tiffany Kelly from Huntington Elementary, Amanda Leonard, and Brian Bernard. Brian actually works at the robotics area out in Orangeville, the new place that was built out there. So he had a son that was involved, and he was involved a bit as a parent last year, and they convinced him to help this year to help with that. So we're excited for that. They told us that this year, just this afternoon, Amanda came in and said that at the second and third grade level alone, this year they had about 50 students who wanted to be involved, and that was more than the fourth through sixth grade band that they had, the entire fourth through band last year. So I think it's going to grow and continue to build. And they actually are the competitive teams that they took two competitive teams last year. They both did very well. One of them actually ended up finishing first in their region in their core values, and was able to go down to St. George And Amanda Branson won a Coach and Mentor Award, which I think is pretty awesome for their first year. So they can only grow and get better. And their prize or their awards are in the case as you walk out the door as well, if you want to see those. We also, one of the last things, our PTO, as part of their fundraiser, they donated some pickleball nets. I don't know how many of you have heard of pickleball.
Yes.
But it's, for those who haven't, it kind of combines badminton and tennis and pickleball. And you hit a ball that's kind of like a wiffle ball over the net, so we're excited. They got it to us like the very end of May, so we didn't find it last year, but we're kind of excited to learn this year. And they've even thrown out the idea of maybe having a pickleball tournament, so we'll see how far that goes. But once again, we're excited for this year. We think it's going to be a wonderfully successful one, and we're glad to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Are the teachers seeing the benefit of the PLCs? Are they?
Yes, and then I think they will even more this year as we get into looking at the standards and fine-tuning those and being able to look at data together as grade levels and as the faculties.
Well, I appreciate that, and thank you for all you do. And
I have a question.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
So I've been really curious as to what you felt were the net results of your no homework policy.
On the whole, most of the, we had a very, most of our parents were behind it. There are a few who weren't thrilled because they felt like their students may not have been getting the same thing, or they weren't as aware of what was going on in the school. So we've also tried to encourage the teachers to make sure parents know what is going on and give them ideas and examples of what's going on. I don't think was really a negative impact academically, because those who weren't bringing it back wouldn't have brought it back anyway. But I think it encouraged them to finish more of their work at school, and they didn't have to drag that extra thing home with them. So on the whole, net positive, I would say.
And are you continuing it?
Yes.
Okay. It'll be interesting to track as time goes on. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you for your report. Appreciate it. Good luck this year and everything that you have going. We will go ahead and go to the business administrator's report. Jared?
Okay. I think it's been a relatively good start to the school year. I know all of us had concerns with all of the changes, but we have had a few issues here and there, but been able to work through them. Felt like the benefits fair went really well. I was a little bit concerned with it being right during the eclipse. Would it work logistically? But I think actually it was a little better, because we had more of a constant flow of employees coming through than just one big rush. So, it was nice to see some of you there as well, and thank you for coming. We're doing the audit this week, and so we're kind of right in the middle of that. Thus far, it's gone well. No big issues or concerns have been brought to our attention, but we're right in the middle of it, and I think Ryan gets his turn tomorrow, so he's pretty excited and all, but going well. And really, during the audit every year, I just feel a ton of appreciation for all of the people in our district who work on our financial end, because it takes everybody trying to do things the right way to have a good audit, and our employees do that. So just want to express appreciation to them.
Okay, thank you. We will go to the superintendent's report.
Well, I would just like to echo business manager Black's comments about getting school off to a good start. Things have been going very well. I appreciate your remarks at the opening institute, Laurel. Thank you for that, and for other board members who were there. It was kind of changing by the minute. Neil had the audacity to have a heart attack and mess up the whole program.
Luckily, we had a very articulate person that could step in there and do an excellent job.
Well, thank you. But it worked out well. The timing, I was spot on. I had to drag Jared off the stage there at one point. He was throwing candy right and left. We had a lot of fun, and of course we built in time for the eclipse. I think our employees appreciated that. And, many of them brought family members, and Lee Moss and a couple of Sterling scholars had set up big telescopes out on the front lawn. It was a good day. And then we got 2 hours of PLC time in as well, and that kind of kicked that off after many of our employees had been to rural schools to get training on PLC. So that was really kind of putting that to the test. But I got really favorable reports back on that. I sat in on some of that collaboration and was very impressed with what was going on. Regarding the opening of school under enclosures and reports, I did include first day count spreadsheet. I was expecting something worse. We had a state estimate that put us at about 70 fewer students, so 29 wasn't that bad. We don't like to lose any. And I think that those numbers have gone up a little bit. Those first day numbers are not foolproof. It's just a count to give us an idea of where we're at. The official count comes October 1st. That's the one that draws in the WPU funding for our school district. So hopefully we'll see that go up a little bit. But you can see the decline in specific grade areas. A lot of it's taking place in the elementary levels. Our biggest class is 11th grade. We had 23 fewer seniors. Some of that may be a result of early graduation. But as Kirk used to say, you know, we're going to have students there. We need to teach them. We need to do our best for every single kid in our school district. And I think that's the approach that we've taken. Regarding HB 125, I forwarded an email to all of you from Terry Shoemaker. It involves new law. The State Board of Education right now is in the midst of writing rules for that law. I sat in on a committee meeting today where this bill was discussed. It doesn't impact Emory School District too much because we don't have too many scenarios like this where we have students come into our district and take up residency with someone other than a parent or a guardian. When that does happen, however, the question with the new rule is, does the board want the superintendent to deal with that, or does the board want to deal with that? The recommendation that came out of the committee was that the board could do that, or they could assign the superintendent to do it. So you have choice either way, which I thought was a pretty good recommendation and something that I would support. Some of these situations may get pretty complex, and the board would need to weigh in on that, and some of them are fairly cut and dried. And the concern that I have also is if we rely totally on the board for that, it may be a month before we could get a child in school.
It's true.
Yeah. And, you know, that's a lot of school to miss. This will go before the State Board tomorrow. Well, Friday. Is tomorrow Friday? No.
It's Thursday.
Yeah. Tomorrow is a hearing, and I'm going up to Salt Lake to sit in on that hearing and also some other board rules that are being discussed. But if any of you have input you'd like me to take up, if you have a preference about how you would like to handle that, if you're okay with the board or designee suggestion, then I can convey that to.
I think we would all like the superintendent who has gets hands on and is on and has an idea of what's going on, rather than the board who is kind of distanced from the student that's coming in and knowing the details. I mean, that's my feeling.
That's my feeling too, and especially to expedite the process, because yeah, like
right.
we're meeting
yeah.
once a month. And
right.
And we would probably follow the recommendation of the superintendent anyway, right?
I think we would. I think we'd trust his recommendation. That's right.
Well, if there was a unique set of circumstances, mm-hmm. then I'd certainly reach out. But otherwise, of a true team. But we'll see how the State Board of Education wants to handle it. I'll make sure that that recommendation is part of the discussion. Also under enclosures, this is not on the board bulletin, but I did put in front of you a handout, special ed handbook. I'll have Ryan talk to you about that and what the board may need to do.
Sure. Within that, it's just a requirement from the state policies and procedures. The only policy change we've had was board approved the emergency safety intervention. That was kind of handling all students, but if there was a restraint required anyway. There's been no other significant change. However, we are currently a discrepancy district, is how we identify students for special education for specific learning disabilities, and that discrepancy is based on cognitive and achievement testing. That sunsets in 2019 is the term they're using. As of 2019, we will no longer be able to use that as a primary way of identifying students. So we're currently looking at other options. The state approved options are a combination of discrepancy, RTI, a response intervention by itself, response intervention as part, as well as alternative research based methods, which includes patterns of strengths and weaknesses. Currently, we're having a training on that today and tomorrow. Carbon School District, and that has, I think, a lot of things that would fit our district. We'll have the teachers look at it, they're most comfortable with it. I'd present a recommendation to the board, and at that point, we would have to present it to the state for their approval.
Why did they change it? What is the reason?
Because discrepancy is based on an algorithm. It's based on a number. More or less, it's saying that If you get this magic 90% difference, you qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take into account other data points such as classroom performance. It doesn't take into account if your deficiency in achievement is the same deficiency within the cognitive testing. So there's still that would still be used to identify and to find out where to start from. But it should make a more accurate way of identifying students with those needs.
So that's a good thing.
I think it's a very good thing.
Okay.
So. And all that would be done in the school district. You don't have to get some outside people to come in and help identify these kids, right?
Right. So as it is now, you'd use a combination. So Woodcock-Johnson is the test we currently use for a specific learning disability. It measures cognitive levels and achievement levels.
Okay.
It would require that if you have a deficit in reading comprehension cognitively, you also show that in achievement. Then you bring in the interventions within the school as data points and say, well, we see that, but we're showing progress, we're showing growth.
Okay.
And you say, well, we're already providing services for that student. Do they need more? If they're showing growth, chances are they don't need the specialized education. Then it becomes a team decision. And rather than answering to just a number, you're looking at the student and the student needs. That's why I think it's such a good thing.
Okay.
Thank you.
So at your leisure, enjoy that.
Yeah, that looks like a fascinating read there.
Not like the budget.
Thanks, Ryan.
Sorry.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
I can understand the budget a little bit.
couple of things in development. We are just now starting to get test data in from last school year. Ryan will be working on that, and we'll be looking at those numbers as an administrative team. And we will prepare a presentation for the board in our October meeting. That's why that's scheduled for 6 o'clock at Emory High School. And also, I included a very tentative board meeting schedule. This is just based on tradition more than anything else, but it'll give you time to look it over, check your calendar, and we can act on this in the next couple of months. But just to get you thinking about board meetings for 2018. And that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Are there any public comments?
I have just a question.
Sure.
For the House Bill 125, is it if a student comes from another district that might be in foster care, would that require your approval?
No.
Or is it not for that?
Foster care, a child in foster care is in state custody, so
okay.
That's a different set of circumstances, different rules. Good question.
Thank you.
Any other comments? Well, thank you for being here. We need a motion to go into a closed meeting, it sounds like, for some
legal.
Okay.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Anything to act on with it?
That's amazing. There are some refreshments and some more water.
Thank you.
And worked up a sweat.